Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. Several hundred people showed up at Oakland City Hall last night to talk about the Occupy movement. It's been a dramatic couple of weeks for the East Bay City. There have been marches, camping, a port closure, and standoffs with police in the wee hours. Joe Heriberta is president of the Oakland Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce.
We've had several conversations with businesses that are saying they will consider not renewing their leases unless something is done and done immediately. The damage to the property is unacceptable. The violence is uncalled for. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
Excuse me. Excuse me.
That's Oakland City Council President Larry Reed there trying to call the crowd to order. Some Occupy Oakland supporters joined city workers in the cleanup yesterday, picking up broken glass and wiping down graffiti. They worry a small group of provocateurs has hijacked the public's perception of the Occupy movement and overshadowed its message. But its message is many things to many people, as we hear from Mina Kim, who's been on the streets of Oakland day and night covering the story.
Oakland came alive Wednesday as some 10,000 people responded to Occupy Oakland's call for a general strike. Even children joined in. Sixth grader Aaron Bendich from the East Bay School for Boys carried a sign that read, "The 99% Generation."
It seems like this could be something big, that this could really change the world. And in a good way, so I'm happy about that.
You're seeing Oakland mobilize right now on a scale that's really impressive.
Longtime Bay Area activist Christoph Lopar has played a prominent role in Occupy Oakland.
I wish I could say I knew that there was some kind of a formula or something that we'd done this time differently that prompted this, but I don't think, honestly, that anybody, any organizer can claim to have created this.
I think the general strike was very bold in a way.
UC Berkeley sociologist Lawrence Rosenthal studies political movements and has been following the Occupy movement closely. He says the fact that the general strike didn't fizzle is important.
The movement is essentially gathering chips, as it were, for greater and greater credibility as a political entity. And this will gather up some chips for them.
Rosenthal says the Occupy Wall Street movement has succeeded in shifting the national conversation from debts and deficits to income inequality and its threat to the American middle class. But he says the movement now must wrestle with some tough questions if it's to have more than a passing impact on American politics, like how to handle its more extreme factions. During Wednesday's action, a small group broke away from a march and smashed windows at a Whole Foods market. They also broke windows at several banks and other businesses. A late-night clash with police ended in 80 arrests. Callers to KQED's forum show yesterday criticized the violence, and some complained about the protest rhetoric.
Like the people at Whole Foods, they're workers. They are part of the 99%, and I'm sure that they felt violated by what those people were doing.
And I found it kind of frustrating seeing these huge banners about, end capitalism, and that's not why I was there.
Berkeley's Rosenthal says the extreme left politics of many Occupy activists could be a bigger threat to the movement's growth than the presence of a few vandals. He says the 2003 anti-Iraq war movement is a useful parallel.
That movement, rather than focusing on Iraq, became, to some extent, hijacked by an extreme point of view and kind of ran aground.
But Occupy Oakland protester Yoo Hyun Ok, a self-appointed group facilitator, says she has no interest in working within established political channels.
My goal is not policy change, because part of my reason for being involved in this is my belief that policy change doesn't actually change anything.
It's
dealing with smaller symptoms of the larger problem. And when you deal with symptoms, you're not curing the disease.
Lawrence Rosenthal says that much as the Tea Party has developed a role in the Republican Party, Occupy activists will need to consider a relationship with the Democrats.
That seems to be the logical parabola for the Occupy movement. Where does it go? Where does it go if not to influence electoral politics?
Occupy Oakland activist Christoph Lopar says he thinks the movement has time to grow.
Every time we don't answer that question, we grow bigger. Every time we don't answer that question, more and more people try to figure out what's going on.
One thing the Oakland group will have to figure out pretty quickly is how it will contend with cold, rainy weather that's sweeping across the Bay Area. For the California Report, I'm Mina Kim.
Bicycle advocates are headed to Los Angeles this weekend for the California Bike Summit. As LA Bureau Chief Chrissy Clark reports, they're working on a strategy to get a million more people on bikes in the Golden State.
One of the most iconic bicycle moments of all time happened in California. You know the one where Elliot rides across the sky with E.T. in his bike basket. But when it comes to bike friendliness, California ranks low, according to Dave Snyder of the California Bicycle Coalition. He says less than 1% of trips to work are by bike in the state, even though half of California commutes are under 3 miles.
Those are trips that a lot of people want to take by bike, but they feel they can't because they look at the streets and they say, no way. We need to change those streets.
Some of those changes involve tweaking policies, like state rules on how roads can be designed. But many of the changes involve money. Currently, the state spends just a fraction of a percent on things like bike lanes and traffic calming. Snyder says at this weekend's summit, they'll discuss how to get lawmakers to spend just a little more. It would be a worthwhile investment, he says, and not just for health and environmental reasons.
Bicycling helps individuals and families save money, keeps that money in the local economy.
Of course, given California's finances, finding more money for anything right now might require extraterrestrial powers. For the California Report, I'm Chrissy Clark in Los Angeles.
That's the California Report for Friday, November 4th, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineers are Howard Gelman and Danny Bringer, with additional engineering by Seal Muller. Nina Thorson directed the show this week with help from Paul Lancour. We had help from Caitlin Ash and Andrew Steltzer. Our interns are Rebecca Wolfson and Rigo Hernandez. The editor is Dan Brecky. The senior online editor is Gabriel Cohn. The producer is Victoria Malione. The senior producer is Ingrid Becker. The news director is Bruce Kuhn. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. Chevron, investing in renewables, strengthening communities, and creating jobs. More information available at chevron.com. And Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems such as data storage, compression, and disaster recovery. Barracuda.com.